would say the biggest takeaway is that over the last 35 years, our forests have really been changing. And those changes have been driven by broad-scale forestry activities, including trees I planted actually when I was a teenager in New Brunswick trying to save money for college. And those changes to the forest have reduced its diversity of trees, and they've shortened the age of trees so that trees don't get to be as old as they would under natural conditions. And the effect of that has been immense on bird populations.
You and your colleagues also estimate that between 33 and 104 million birds were lost during this period. And this means that there are that many fewer birds in our forest than there would have been in 1985, correct?
Yeah, that's right. And that in many ways that's an underestimate. We gave a wide range, but I would say the top end is even likely an underestimate of the number of birds. So, you know, for people listening, we're talking about sort of two or three times the population, the human population of Canada, right? This is a massive number of birds. There was a paper that came out in the prestigious journal Science 2 years ago indicating that 3 billion birds had been lost across all of North America. But that paper didn't point to any particular causes of those declines. So people have been scratching their heads for a couple of years. And our paper is, I guess, unique in that it really shows that forest management, if done in a particular way, can have particularly negative consequences for bird populations.
What's the significance of birds in terms of biodiversity more generally? You've used the phrase canary in the coal mines before, I believe.
So people have been using birds as indicators for centuries, if not thousands of years. And the reason for that is that they're quite sensitive to environmental changes. And, you know, that does go back to the canary in the coal mine with miners, where people would pay attention to how the canary was doing, and the canary was dead, it was time to get out of the mine. People have argued that in modern times, we should also be using birds as indicators of environmental health. In some ways, they're not the best indicator. And the reason for that is that they're actually quite robust to many changes. They can fly around, you know, they're mobile, they're endotherms, so they're not as sensitive to climate as some species. So I would actually argue that if we see declines like this in bird populations, it's probably a signature of the fact that many other species are doing poorly. And in fact, there are a number of species that are likely to be more sensitive to forest changes than birds. You know, so I'm thinking about lichen species, for example, that only like to live on a few species of tree, or some mammals that don't move around the landscape very well, like flying squirrels. But the thing is, we don't have data on all those species. We really only have data on birds because, you know, for decades, people have loved watching them, so they volunteer to go out and do these long-term surveys.
You addressed New Brunswick MLAs last year at a legislative standing committee studying the use of the controversial herbicide glyphosate, which forestry companies spray on forests to kill broadleaf plants and grasses. You've spoken about smart silviculture. Could you comment on how government and forestry companies could better protect biodiversity in our forests?
Yeah, the problem, and I mentioned this to the Legislative Assembly Committee, it's not necessarily the direct effect of herbicides on birds that's causing the issue. It's more the fact that herbicides help us change the character of our forests from diverse Acadian forest to more coniferous dominated plantation type forests. And so, yeah, there are many ways that we can manage. If you think about our sugar maples and our beech and our yellow birch, and even some of our conifers like red spruce, you know, this forest type responds well to selection cutting. You know, you can maintain a canopy, for instance, and still have really good regeneration coming up with selection type practices. It doesn't mean we need to really reduce massively the amount of wood that's harvested in New Brunswick. Often people pitch this idea as kind of a, we can either have birds or we can have forestry, not both. But I really don't think that's the case. I think that, as I said, in the existing mature Acadian forest, we can use good forestry practices and silviculture. And in the places where we've already turned it to plantation, you know, or maybe we're restoring some pasture land, we can do more intensive forestry there and grow trees, you know, more quickly. So it's sort of not a simple answer, but I would say as simple as we can get is we really should stop doing plantation forestry in existing mature Acadian forest. If we're interested in maintaining populations of wildlife and in particular birds.
That was Professor Matthew Betts speaking to CHMA on Tuesday. His recently published research has prompted responses from environmentalists. In a statement, Conservation Council of New Brunswick Executive Director Lewis Corbett said, Dr. Betts' findings reinforce the need to reform New Brunswick's old-fashioned management towards more ecological forestry and much less industrial forestry. Bob Bancroft is a wildlife biologist and the president of Nature Nova Scotia, a federation of natural history societies and other environmental groups. In a commentary published by the NB Media Co-op, he says, the research proves what nature lovers have been witnessing for decades.
The reality is that there are essentially there's still the same amount of forest cover, or even a little more, over the period from 1985 to 2000, but the nature of the forest has changed dramatically. When I say old forest, I'm not talking about old growth forest. We're just talking about mature forest. Forests that allowed to mature have declined by 39% in that time. And there are an awful lot of birds, Blackburnian warblers, yellow-crowned kinglets, and others you mentioned 54 of them that they had enough data to track, and the forests that have come back are simplified early succession forests. You know, the poplars and trees like spruce and fir that can colonize sunny clear cuts. They're not the forest that was cut many years ago, and they don't offer the habitats.
What do you think needs to change in the Maritimes to protect biodiversity in these forests?
There's a drastic change needed. Basically, first thing I would say is that the governments are organized into ecologically unfriendly silos. And the example I gave in what I wrote was that species like Atlantic salmon are jurisdictionally insulated from forest activities that turn watersheds into overheated wastelands. It's obvious to me that the forest industries have reigned supreme here. We've been cutting too much too fast for too long.
That was Bob Bancroft speaking to CHMA on Tuesday. On Wednesday, after this report first aired, Mike Holland, Minister of Natural Resources, spoke to CHMA. He noted the government's pledge to double the protected crown land in New Brunswick by adding 400,000 hectares. That initiative was originally supposed to be completed before 2021. Holland said he's committed to protecting biodiversity.
For the last 3 years, we've been working on projects to address biodiversity and ecological sustainability. And it's culminating with the work we're doing, and we should have bringing forward in the very near future on the initiative to double the protected and conserved areas in the province of New Brunswick. In addition to that, we've been working on the private woodlot sector, because I deal with Crown land, but forestry practices take place all throughout the province, private sector, private land, and Crown.
You know, you've talked about the expansion of the protected area, but I guess my question is, will does that mean that no more Acadian forests will be converted into plantations in the province of New Brunswick?
Well, we have a policy right now that we've got in place that if you cut a species, it's to regrow in the original situation. Like if you cut a hardwood ridge right now, it's not to be converted into a plantation, a softwood plantation. And I'm very affirmed because what I'm doing is in line, very much in line with the report that Dr. Betts had put together. So I'm very pleased with that.
That was Mike Holland, New Brunswick's Minister of Natural Resources, responding to newly published research led by Professor Matt Betts of Oregon State University.